The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what do we have this week in recovery news?
Gary, remember we were talking about how cocaine sometimes enters the water supply and
yes.
pollutes the water,
yes.
and animals are actually exposed to it. Well, an article has just come out of Brazil that scientists in Brazil have come up with the first evidence that sharks are being exposed to cocaine. A researcher from Brazil, Rachel Ann Hauser Davis, dissected 13 sharp-nosed sharks caught near Rio de Janeiro, all tested positive in their liver and their muscles. And what they're thinking is it's actually from the wastewater. In other words, so much cocaine is being used in Brazil that it's coming out in the wastewater. They used to think that it was just from smugglers and everything dropping stuff in there.
Sure.
But it's you know, it's really unbelievable. And it just shows the negative effect of addiction all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I mean, at first it sounds funny, but it's not funny.
It's not funny because they've actually found this also with eels and other sea animals that are being exposed to basically poison.
Right, because
it's being used so much over there. And it's pretty scary stuff, believe it or not.
Well, the amount of cocaine compared to the amount of water, it would have to be quite a large amount to affect a sea animal, right?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, especially for them to actually test positive by these scientists during dissection. It's pretty unbelievable. It blew me away when I was reading that, Gary.
They tested positive.
Yeah.
If they're on probation, they're sent back, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and they also said that it can really make them hyperactive.
Oh, sure.
I would imagine even maybe more shark attacks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. What else you have?
So a huge drug bust,
which
could really help stop fentanyl, this huge amount of fentanyl from coming into the United States. An alleged Mexican drug pin suspected of flooding the United States with fentanyl is in custody after being lured across the border. Ismael Elmayo Zambada, 76, the co-founder and leader of the powerful Sinaloa cartel, was arrested in El Paso, Texas on Thursday. Interesting thing is that El Chapo's son, Guzman Lopez, actually was in on this. They lured him across the border saying he was going to inspect a property, and they set in. They actually busted both of them.
And El Chapo was the number one guy in Mexico for moving cocaine. I think he was extradited back in the United States. I think he's in a maximum security prison in the United States, or he's dead. I don't know which one it is. If any of our listeners or viewers, let us know. I'm just curious about that. But that is a major, major drug bust.
It's a major deal because, again, these guys were actually in charge of the manufacturing of the fentanyl in Mexico. And that's right across, not too far from the border, I don't think, where they're basically moved the drugs out of.
Yeah. Well, that's a good bust.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, can you imagine being these guys have everything in the world, they're billionaires, and now it's over.
It's over.
And they're going to be locked into a 5x7 cell for the rest of their lives.
Well deserved.
Was it worth it, guys?
I mean, I wouldn't think so, right?
Absolutely. Mark, you know, this time of the year is a difficult time for all of us in recovery and also the community that is still using. You know, because it's summertime, the weather, the parties, all that kind of stuff is a big challenge for all of us in recovery. And I think just makes it worse for those who are trying to get in recovery. So when we come back, we'd like to find out from our audience, is this, in fact, a difficult time for you with all these external stimuli around? We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope and believe with the effective treatment we can offer designed uniquely for you within reach of where you are standing, you'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled G-A-U-D-E-N-Z-I-A. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
This is Elvin Bishop, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, you can also enjoy Clean and Sober Radio on WWDB in Philadelphia, 97.5 FM High Def 2 in Philly, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and WNBR in Tampa, Florida. And I'll tell you something. I got a call last week from a friend of mine who lives in Tampa and said to me, and he was surprised, I just heard you guys on the radio.
It's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's so cool. And it's just so cool that we're spreading the message around the country.
Right, that there is hope.
Yes.
As long as you're alive, you can get clean.
Yes, and we're evidence of that, right?
Yeah, we certainly are, Mark. So this thing about the beauty of the summer and the summertime, I can remember me feeling the summertime was like a free pass to go crazy, more nuts than I did when it was cold out.
Oh, yeah, I had the same thing. I had the same thing. And, you know, some of my best memories using drugs and alcohol was always during like the late spring, the summer, maybe the early fall. Then the darkness would set in and it would become dark and isolated and you know, fall into this huge rut.
Yeah.
But summertime was always, I mean, it can be such a trigger.
I mean, I can just feel it right now.
Well,
I can just feel right now at the beach, wherever you go to the beach, wherever you are in the country or the world. I mean, the parties, the barbecues, the expectations of you to show up at things. Yeah. And there was always, at least where I went, there was always alcohol and drugs.
Yeah, and it would start in the late spring, right, where it was just like all of a sudden the sun is out. And I mean, we're both going into, you know, for people that don't know, I'm an addictions counselor, and one of the descriptions of this is what we call euphoric recall. And euphoric recall is when you remember the good times, but you screen out the negatives.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's summertime for you a lot of times.
Absolutely. I just got to mention, because this call, a viewer just pushed in here. I just got to say, Paul Janice, he said, nice. I just found the show. I'm in Amherstburg, Ontario.
Oh, we got a Canada.
A Canadian.
Canadian. A big hockey fan.
Yeah, I just had to mention him. He's a new guy on here.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Anyway, so I, as you're saying, I can feel, you know, the end of the school year, your books, are done with the books, whether it's, you know, high school, college, grad school, and then all hell break loose.
And a lot of the parties seemed to be around then, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like lots of the parties were at that time. And,
and
you know, the crazy part is that it's like for people in early recovery, and I went through this, it's spring comes along and all of a sudden you get hit a lot of times with cravings or thoughts of using just because there's the smell in the air, the sun's smell hitting your face, you know?
But then, you know, I can also say this. I got the same feeling around Thanksgiving. Christmas.
It's a great
New
point.
New Year's, Easter.
That's a great point.
But seriously, that summer, that whole beach thing, that whole the warmth of the sun.
Yeah. There was nothing like that for me in terms of euphoric recall. But you're so right. I mean, when we talk about triggers, we could find triggers at like all times of the year.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if you're not watching us now and just listening, we are smiling ear to ear.
Yes.
What do you guys think? 1-888-728-9941. You get that same feeling when you think about the months that we're in now, the summer, the feeling, you know.
The euphoric recall.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah, so I got to tell you, Gary,
yeah.
For anybody in early recovery, it's really a time you got to be so careful.
Yes, and, you do.
You know, you see it in the meetings where there's tons of people in the wintertime, and then the meetings start thinning out in the summertime. And I wonder, I mean, maybe just people are away and things, but I think a lot of people go back out.
Yeah. I mean, look... you know, beautiful time of the year, you're looking for a girlfriend, you know, all that stuff. You find somebody who is not in the program during the summer, and are you almost bullied into using with a yeah. girl or a guy, you know, a girl or a guy, you know, the expectations from other people on how you should conduct your life can hurt you.
Yeah, and going to a party and feeling like, well, I got to drink, you know, or I got to smoke pot, yeah. or I got to do something,
yeah.
you know, going to this party. And yeah, it's tough. And you mentioned the beach, too. I mean, the beach was another one. And the crazy thing is that what I've realized in recovery is like once you get away from it, you start realizing that you can enjoy summer again and you can enjoy spring. You know, yeah, it's a fun time of year.
It's a fun time of the year, and it was a fun time of the year back then until it wasn't.
Yeah. Did you have the same experience after summer when fall would set in and winter would set in? Gosh. I would go into the biggest depression.
Of course. Dark out, at least on the East Coast, at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, I used to sometimes sleep until 3, you know.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I would wake up, and it was an hour until hour and a half until it's dark. I mean, it was so depressing. You know, where you wake up and you're just like, there's an hour and a half of sunlight. I wonder why I have seasonal affective disorder right now.
I got to tell you what happened
you
to
know?
Me.
Yeah.
I must have taken a nap in the afternoon. I woke up
around
6:30.
Yeah.
I thought it was 6:30 in the morning. I got dressed to go to school.
Oh, my gosh.
I go to the bus stop.
No, you actually went?
I actually went to the bus stop. I don't know where my parents were, but yeah.
Wow. I've had that where you get mixed up, but I've never gotten my, you know, changed for school and out on the bus. When did you realize it when you got to the bus stop?
When it was 10 o'clock at night and
nobody's out there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Hey, listen, what we're talking about right now, if you're just joining us, you know, seasonal issues having to do with addiction and recovery, and they're real. It's real stuff. You know, give us a call, 1-888-728-9941, and we can like to get your views on it.
Yeah, let us know how it is for you getting through the summertime clean and sober. Let us know if it's hard for you or what it's like for you.
Mark, listen to this fact.
Yeah, let me hear it.
13 is the average age that children experiment with drugs. Alcohol is the most commonly abused substance and the third most common cause of death in the United States. 50% of all suicides and over 50% of all violent crimes are caused by alcohol and drug use. Over 50% of all traffic accidents involve alcohol or drugs.
Yeah.
Big numbers.
Big right? numbers. And I mean, it's basically up there, opioids has been catching alcohol in terms of like the deaths and everything. But there's just so many different ways you can die from alcohol, you know, liver, all kinds of issues internally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 75% of all high school students have used addictive substances, including cigarettes, alcohol, marijuana, and cocaine. 75. So it's 3 out of 4. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I didn't know this when I was going through it, but there are people who didn't use drugs in school.
You're like, I did not know this. Like,
I thought everybody.
The whole world. How old were you when you first started?
It was eighth grade, and a cousin of mine gave me marijuana in a corn cob pipe. If anybody remembers that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And eighth grade. So I was in eighth grade, I was, 22? No, I was 14, I think.
14.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started when I was 12.
And what were the circumstances?
Drinking. My dad had, I remember he would have these Bush Pounders, and he would keep them in the basement. And I remember my friends would get a hold of them and myself. And then—
In your basement,
basement. Yeah. And they would come over, we'd do sleepovers. And then I remember going over, one of the scary things that happened is I went over to my friend Bill's house and we did a sleepover. Yeah. You know, we were playing hockey out front. And he opens up the cupboard in his kitchen and there's a jar. And it's got this clear liquid in it. And he's like, yeah, this is green alcohol. Oh. And I didn't touch it. He took a little sip. Yeah. And we ended up drinking all this hard liquor that night. He got so sick. And his mom knew, we lied the whole time and everything. But that was at 12 years old.
So wait, your friends are coming to your house and stealing your father's alcohol. Well, and you did nothing about it.
No, I was stealing it for them.
Oh, I see.
You know, we were, but see, the thing is I had three older brothers. So I blame it on them. If they're listening right now, it's their fault.
Of course.
Don't you think?
Why not?
Yeah.
Statute's over.
Yeah, because I watched them. That's how I learned.
Yeah, I didn't like alcohol. I mean, I would never drink it now. I mean, I drank, but yeah. I like the powder and the pills.
Yeah, I actually prefer drugs over alcohol too, eventually. I mean, alcohol, bad stuff happened when I drank, but I wasn't as attracted to it.
Yeah, I didn't like the taste. I was like, well, what's the point of this?
Yeah, my stomach used to hurt from it. You know, I actually had the beginnings of an ulcer.
Did you?
And so when I drank, I didn't know this at the time, but when I drank, I would get a lot of stomach pain from it.
Yeah. But you kept drinking.
I kept drinking.
Of course. You know, also about the summer months, I want to bring this up. And what's being acceptable in this country is recreational marijuana and just plain out medical marijuana. So you're out there on the beach and you're smelling this stuff.
Everywhere.
And it really makes me angry that I have to smell this. You know that?
It's everywhere. And you know, the concerning thing is that it's such a different age where these kids have these cartridges that they're smoking.
Yeah.
And, you know, wholly addictive where you can just smoke a vape and get high at any time, right?
Yeah.
And these kids all have them. And yeah, you smell it everywhere.
Look, I like smoking cigars. You know, on the Jersey Shore, New Jersey, everybody, you can't smoke on the beaches, but you can vape.
I didn't know that. I wondered that.
Yeah.
You can't smoke cigars on the beaches?
Or cigarettes, obviously, but people are smoking marijuana.
Yeah. Yeah. I live in like a townhouse.
Yeah.
Right? And all my neighbors smoke. Like I get home from work and I'm just like, I smell it. I smell it all over the place. Man. Yeah.
Shh. It's crazy.
It's a different age out there now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's for real.
Probably smoking and watching the Three Stooges.
That's right. If you're listening to us, look, we're having fun, serious subject every week. There is a phone number for the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline, and it's 1-800-662-HELP. And if you think you need help or you know somebody who needs help, give them this phone number. And that number, Mark, as we've discussed over and over, should be on your refrigerator, just like poison control.
Absolutely. And there's another number, and that is 988, and that's the suicide hotline. If you feel like hurting yourself or just having thoughts of it, give that call and that number a call, and they will help you. I've talked to people that have gotten help through that.
You have?
Yes.
So important.
Yes. It's like 911. I mean, you can actually call 911 too. I mean,
but 911, a lot of times they don't answer the phone, at least in Philadelphia.
You know what happens with 911? With my mind goes across the river for some reason.
Oh,
and then they have to transfer you, and then you finally get somebody on it. Because I live right on the Delaware River, which again is a river outside of Philadelphia for people that don't know. And it somehow it goes across the river.
Does it?
Call. Yeah.
That is crazy. So 80 million people engage in risky use of addictive substances in ways that threaten public health and safety, but do not meet the clinical criteria for this disease. What does that mean, Mark? You know?
So that means that they may have, you know, when we talk about criteria to have a alcohol use disorder, you know, or, you know, substance use disorder, there's a certain amount of symptoms that you have to be diagnosed. And now they have mild, moderate, and severe. And mild is very similar to, in the old days, they called it a abuse, you know, where you might have two of these things. And when I say these symptoms, it could be like, you know, bad things happening when you drink, loss of control sometimes when you drink. And a lot of times people could be diagnosed with mild alcohol use disorders, for instance, you know. So it's tough when you hear a statistic like that, you know, about how a lot of these people don't have a problem, because a lot of times people during research studies and stuff don't self-report that well because of denial.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's you have to look at that a little skeptically.
Right. So it's not that accurate.
It's very possible it's not.
Right. Just like the number of how many people overdose a year is probably very much lower than the real number.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right?
Yeah. And especially like health issues and things like that when people die from them, and really it's caused by drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it goes down as liver failure. It doesn't go down as alcoholism, right?
Did you see in your practice, just what we're talking about, the summer months, more people get into trouble?
I would see where more people would relapse, particularly in the spring.
In the spring?
In the spring.
Isn't that also where suicide is higher?
Yes, where the suicide rate is higher. I mean, it's hard to say because you see relapse all the time, but I would notice, let's just say I'd notice a spike in the spring when the weather got well.
Yeah.
And you know, I would hear people talking a lot about having cravings and things like that when the weather broke. Now, at different times of the year, you see spikes. Around the holidays, you see spikes. You know, I've had some disastrous Labor Day weekends where, you know, a lot of people went back out. But right in the springtime when the weather breaks is definitely a high-risk time.
I'll tell you what was a bad time for me was the winter, because if the weather was bad, I couldn't get to the doctor's office to get the scripts, and I couldn't get the pharmacist. So that was my issue. Yeah. That was my seasonal problem.
And how hard would you try?
Oh.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Short of breaking in?
Yeah. I mean.
Right?
Wintertime, you trudge out in all these snowstorms, right?
Yeah. Yeah, these stories are really interesting. Look, if you're just listening to us and you want to watch us do the show, go to Facebook, go to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, and you can watch us do the show. I'm going to mention a couple people that are watching us right now. Judge Christopher Maddox, Alan Trobman is watching.
Oh, Alan, big shout out.
That's your buddy, right?
Yes, he's awesome.
Again, we did mention Paul Janice.
John Logue,
Robert Brandis, Amy McGinley. Do you know Amy?
I might, but I'm very bad with last names.
Okay. Rich Moyer. Did you say Jim Brennan?
I did not say Jim Brennan.
I did. Linda Carroll's watching. Eddie Kilgore. Eddie K. That's a guy with a long, long-term sobriety. Yeah, it's all great people. Glad we got new people watching us also now.
You know what I'd be really interested? If people can post on the Facebook message board, what was the hardest season of the year for you to stay clean through in early recovery? You know, you hear some people say Christmas time. You know, some people say the spring. I don't know if anybody's interested in posting that.
Yeah, that's great. That would be fabulous. We are going to take a break now. When we come back, let's keep talking. Hopefully, we'll get some input from our audience on seasonal difficulties as it contributes to alcohol and addiction.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, this is Randy the Blade Lurch. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You know, before the break, we were talking about seasonal issues as it pertains to addiction and recovery. And we're going to talk about it again.
Sounds good.
We're going to continue. Let me just see who else is on here. All right, we can't go through everybody. Marty Lanley. Lanny. Is that Lanny?
That looks like Lanny to me. Mark, or Lanny.
Mark, what's wrong with us? It's simple. Shouldn't it be simple to look at somebody's name?
It should. I was, you know, when I put these news articles together, I was trying to like pronounce things like Sonola. Like, it's hard for me.
Well, listen, our buddy here, Brad.
Yeah.
His last name, if you don't know it, is Brad. How many different names? I always remember the first time you said it rhymes with fish. Rish.
Yes.
But you must get everything, right?
A lot of Rish.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what I get? H-A-N-D. I get handler all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
How about you, Mark?
I get, let me think here. Mostly people get mine right because my last name is Sigmund.
That's
and people know Sigmund Freud. So I just have to say, you know, a lot of times they get it right. I think I've heard people say Sigmund before.
Sigmund
and things, you know, like that. But yeah, mine's not too bad.
No, yours is pretty good.
So, Gare.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
What? What's the matter, Mark?
There's so many things, too, in the summertime. I just went to a concert the other day. I saw the Dave Matthews Show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Okay.
It was, you know, great show and everything like that. And, but I'm up on the lawn and there's just pot everywhere.
So what do you
there's
do?
Alcohol.
I couldn't go. I just can't.
Yeah.
Am I jealous that I can't do that? Maybe a little bit of that, but also I just don't want any of that in my life.
Yeah. It didn't bother me too much, just because I was focused on the music and everything like that, and I was with Andrea, so it didn't bother me that much. But I can imagine some people really, really struggle, especially in early recovery in situations like that. And you know, they want to go to a concert, or they want to go to, you know, fishing on a boat or something,
sure.
And then you're smelling pot smoke all over the place, and really challenging. Really
changing. You know, I used to have to ask people, do you have cats in your house? Because I'm allergic.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I'm not, I would almost have to ask, do you guys smoke marijuana?
Yeah, that's, I mean, because it can really catch you off guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can really catch you off guard where you're not expecting it. You know, in the summertime, like any kind of events, going out, going to a party in somebody's back porch, a graduation party, or any of this stuff. You know, I'd love to hear from anybody in early recovery, you know, to let us know what it's like for you in early recovery, getting through the summer sober. 888-728-9941. That's 888-728-9941. Let us know what it's like for you.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. It must be super difficult in early recovery, but it would be, I think it's difficult. Like for me, it's too difficult to even deal with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a tough situation.
And you know? And it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse.
I know.
And that's just the way it is.
I know. I mean, little things too, like, you know, in a lot of states it's legal and there's, you know, marijuana dispensaries popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere. And, you know, so it's definitely a climate. But again, my biggest concern is the high school students and the you know, the kids 12 years old, 13 years old, they're watching their parents doing it and they get into their supply. I know I would have at that age, like I did with the alcohol. you know?
Well, look, just what you said. 1 in 4 Americans who began using any addictive substance before 18 has a substance problem. Do you buy that? Is that true?
I believe it because I've always heard this statistic that the younger somebody starts, the greater, you know, chances are that they're going to develop, you know, an issue. And I mean, it's hard to say which came first, chicken or egg. Is it that they started younger because they were genetically prone and more attracted, you know, they got a hold of something and they were just more into it? Or is it because the brain is not developed fully yet, you know, and it causes some problems in the brain early on?
Well, I think when I was coming up, growing up, you didn't find many parents smoking marijuana. Now, there's a lot of parents smoking marijuana and their kids are in the house and they're smoking marijuana.
Yeah, I don't remember one parent that I knew smoking marijuana.
Me either. No.
Never. I mean,
never.
You know, and now it's especially more common. And I'll tell you, I mean, you know, the people that we work with a lot of times when they talk about starting young, a lot of times they have addiction in their family, right? So they're watching their parents. They're learning. It's both genetic, but it's also environmental. And so, yeah.
So it makes it tougher for the addicted.
It makes it a lot tougher. You know, I remember just a couple people I've worked with over the years were trying to get clean. Not just a couple, a bunch. We're trying to get clean in an environment where their parents were abusing something. And, you know, they'd be up in their rooms and, you know, their parent would be drinking heavily downstairs or smoking heavily downstairs. And they would talk about how they're so triggered. And a lot of these young adults would relapse. They would relapse and they would say that they were triggered. Now they could have been blaming at that point too. But then I would think as a counselor on my end, I'm like, is it even possible for this client to get clean right now at that age with stuff in the house? Right. And it's even gone as far as the parents wouldn't remove the alcohol or the drugs from the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, they thought about moving out and things like that just to get away from it.
You know, when I got married, we didn't have any alcohol at the wedding. And there was one of my parents' friends said, if he knew there wasn't going to be any alcohol, he wouldn't have come to the wedding.
Oh, my gosh.
Bizarre, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
Were you mad?
Nah.
It was just more kind of
ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. And that's a sign somebody's got a problem, by the way.
Oh, I knew he had a problem.
Yeah, he had.
I mean, he was always going to Delaware to buy booze.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
we don't have alcohol in our house.
Yeah, we don't have alcohol at our house either.
Yeah.
You know, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
We do have heroin. No.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. No, we just don't have it. And people, I'll tell you something. I had a party.
Yeah.
For my 35th year of sobriety. And do you know, this is the God's honest truth, somebody came and brought me a bottle of wine.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine? Now, this person I knew is a functioning alcoholic.
Okay.
But don't you think, you know, it's like going to somebody's house who's diabetic and bringing him a box of chocolates, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, he knew you were.
He knew but he didn't make the... There was a disconnect in, I don't drink, and here's a present. Here's a nice present for you.
I was thinking about that earlier. I was thinking about how foggy my thinking used to be in active use and some of the decisions. Like every once in a while, you just remember like these decisions. You know, like I remember a friend of mine, his brother needed to take I had to take a urine test, and I remember I knew his brother was clean. Yeah. And so I asked my friend to ask his brother if I could use his pee. And I found out later that he was really offended because he was clean. And to me, at that point, it felt like the most rational thing in the world. I'm like, here, this guy's staying clean. His urine's clean. This is perfect.
Yeah.
He was very upset.
Yeah.
And at that point,
it, that didn't it, your brain was so disconnected, the wires weren't making a good connection at that point. I think I told you this story. When I got out of rehab, I had to get a job, and I went to an employer.
I remember.
And I told him that I robbed somebody of incredible amount of money. And I thought he would think, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I mean, how sick does it get?
I for some reason, I don't think you got that job, Gary.
Yeah, that's
when
right.
I really look at this
and
situation.
And I'm not going to mention the company either.
Yeah, it doesn't sound
that. But how sick our brains were.
It just fogs you up, right? Like you just make the decisions based on the self-centeredness of addiction. You know, like I wasn't thinking of my friend in recovery when I asked for his pee.
Right.
It actually totally struck me by surprise that he was upset about it.
Right. It made perfect sense, right?
Yeah, to me it was so perfect. You know, and he was upset about it. And I was just like, I don't know why he's upset about this. So it might have been the same situation with the guy that brought the wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, something's just misfiring when you're in it. You know, I felt like I was living in space for a long time. Did you? Like, just foggy.
Well, I was just, I don't even know. It was just.
Gary's the Wolf of Wall Street, if anybody wants to know how his life was.
Yeah.
Drug of Choice was Quaaludes.
Boy, that was an accurate movie. Oh, anybody out there who loved the Quaaludes, let us know. Let us know. You can even talk about this, the summertime at the beach, the Jersey Shore maybe, what it was like. The urgency of getting Quaaludes to have a nice weekend. And if you didn't get them, it was a horrible weekend.
Yeah. Isn't that the worst?
Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, talk about dependency, right? And talk about, I need my stuff or this day is going to be horrible.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm going on vacation. I don't care if I have to take a plane ride. I'm going to smuggle it with me because I can't go without it.
Absolutely.
Right? And just the, you know, time, I just remember times when I couldn't get the stuff and just waiting by the phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Horrible.
I mean, just the chains of addiction, you know, when we want to play the tape to the end of how bad it really was. Right.
Did you ever forge any prescriptions?
I did not.
No, I did it all the time.
Yeah. I did
it
not.
It made perfect sense at that point. Yes, it did.
I mean, it's just another example of like what seems so rational.
Yeah.
You know?
And the people around us, I didn't, you know, account for any of it. What they saw in me, the sick behavior, it didn't bother me a bit.
I didn't think they even knew.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Hey, if you're just joining us now, Mark and I are having a very open and honest discussion about how we were slaves to our addiction. And the summertime, the warm months, the parties made it even more difficult. 1-888-728-9941. Rich Rosenbaum in Florida is watching us right now, Mark.
Hello, Rich.
Hello, Richard.
And how about the freedom of recovery, right?
Oh, yeah.
The freedom of being able to go and enjoy the beach or go and enjoy this or that and not be like, I got to constantly think about, you know, getting high or getting a supply.
That's a good point. There's such a freedom in recovery.
Yeah.
You know, because the addiction took up so much time.
So much time. And so, you know, it was number one, right?
Number one.
It's number one, you know, it always came first, right? Because it's like, hey, I don't feel good if I don't have the stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I never, you know, it's funny, when I first started with stuff, I never thought that it would get to that point where it's like you couldn't really enjoy stuff unless you were high.
Yeah, no question.
Like I that was so foreign, right? It's like, yeah, well, I'll be able to do this every once in a while and have a good time, but I'm not going to get to the point of, I don't want to go to this event if I don't have it. And like that's dependency, right? That's dependency. And once you cross that line, I mean, geez. And I'm sure there's some people sitting out there right now that struggle with this.
And they can totally relate to what we're talking about.
Yes.
This is a good outlet. Call us. It's anonymous. Nobody's going to know. But give us a call.
Yeah, We won't. You can use a fake name.
Use a fake name.
You know, 888-728-9941. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you didn't think that, you know, that you get chained to it.
Yeah.
You know, and
you know what? I had friends who weren't addicts. They use a little and then it was done with.
Yeah.
Not me.
I know. It's kind of, I mean, sometimes I'm like, I kind of wish I was like that person that was able to just do stuff once or moderate. You know?
But you know what, Mark?
Yeah.
In a way, our addiction, which is part of our personality, I think, at least for me, and we're kind of hyper.
what do you mean?
We can get a lot of stuff done now.
That's true.
In recovery.
Oh.
A lot of stuff.
Oh,
multitask.
My gosh.
A lot of stuff. You know?
Whereas before, I just used to kick everything down the road.
Yeah.
You know, David Serkin says, doesn't addiction transcend all seasons?
Well, it does. It does, Dave. It does. Maybe in the colder months, you're more by yourself.
Oh, well, that was me. Yeah. I was more isolated and depressed in the colder months.
Yeah.
But I, you know, and for me personally, spring, summer was the hardest time in early recovery. For other people, the holidays are the hardest time.
Right.
So, you know, he's right. It transcends all seasons, but for certain times are more triggersome for certain people, right?
Yeah. It makes perfect sense. But, you know, look, you've been clean for decades. I've been clean for decades. There's a part of it that was still, when you think about it, we're smiling, you know? And I think we're able to smile because we got out of it, you know?
Yeah, and it never, you know, you don't really forget the parts you liked about it. And that's the scary part.
And there were parts.
Yes.
I always said it was great until it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Brad is watching this right now.
And he's like, I can.
And Brad can't really. So everybody knows Brad Risch.
He's our cameraman.
He's our cameraman, our IT
producer.
Guy, CBS alumni. He's listening. But you know what it's like? Brad, tell me if it's true. I don't know what it's like to be blind. I can think about it, sympathize. When you hear all these stories, is it hard to think that a human being can kill themselves?
No, not at all. I mean, the story, Mark, you say you go home and you can smell the pot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like an invitation to a party. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's there. It's present. Yeah. You can't control it. It just drifts through the air. And how you avoid that, I mean, you have to have a strong commitment to your sobriety to steer away from that. And even events that you used to do, going to the Dave Matthews concert, I mean, that would be a party situation.
Yeah.
So the strength that you have to avoid that. But I get that.
I really get it, though, right?
And even more so, I get the struggle and the focus and everything that you have to stay away from that. And that, yes, Gary, like you say, you wouldn't pick up because it's been too long. Not for the threat.
Yeah, but
I mean.
But people have picked up after being clean for 40-some years.
Yeah, but.
I never would say it because it's like, I do believe I wouldn't pick up, but you never know.
You never know, yeah.
And that's better.
And yeah.
Well, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, that he says it that way,
the one young lady was on a business trip. She'd been clean for quite a while. Went on a business trip, sitting on the beach.
Yeah.
Decided, I can have
one. Oh, yeah.
Just one. And it was downhill.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's like, can that really happen? And it does.
Yeah. No, I get that now. And what frustrates me is when in other parts of my life, I hear people making derogatory comments about those people. And especially when you get into what's clearly heavy duty mental illness problems, the Kensington scene and all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, as if they're going there for a 24-hour party.
Yeah.
You know, there's no party in that at all. And for the people who are so ignorant that don't understand that, that's my frustration in it. But you guys are opening that up. You're discussing it, and
yeah, and you know, you've said I've known you've been with us for I don't know 8 years, 7 years, I don't know how many years, and it's really been we've talked about this, an incredible education to you, to experience all of this stuff, the horrors of it, the rewards of sobriety, and you know, you had said, I think what you said to me was you were blessed to be part of the show.
Absolutely,
that's incredible.
But for the grace of God, it's a you're on the peak of the roof. You can, it's a quick slide, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Much respect.
Real quick before we go to break, Lou Montana. Gentlemen, good to see you. I got on late trying to get everything wrapped up to go to the Phillies game tonight. Anyway, better late than never. Glad to be here. Have a great weekend. Listen, Lou, this show is more important than the Phillies game. Only kidding. All right, we got to take a break right now, and we will be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you, healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
What's happening? Brandon Novak here from Those Movies Jack Zor, author of that addiction memoir, Dream Seller. Do me a favor and tune into Clean and Sober Radio with Gary Hendler.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And before the break, Mark and I and Brad, we were talking about, just addiction, man, about all the negatives, positives, what you have to watch out for. And it's no joke.
It's a beast.
And what you said about the freedom of getting into recovery is so true. I mean, I think that the addiction took up every day, at least three hours, going to doctor's offices, going to pharmacies, begging people.
Obsessing.
Yeah.
Obsessing. And then the time it took to deal with the unmanageability or the problems that came from it, too, right?
I had a lot of legal problems that came through.
Yeah, I had some of them, too.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to yours.
Oh,
but,
yeah, sure.
But just all the time and money and energy and resources and,
And cover up. Cover up, right?
Yeah. And, you mentioned in recovery, it's like how much you can get done and how you have your brain faculties. And at the same part, for anybody in early recovery, you will start enjoying things again without drugs and alcohol. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm never going to enjoy anything again, but you will remember how to enjoy things again.
Absolutely. And it is a scary thing. How will I have fun?
I was terrified.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. I thought my life was over in terms of like having fun. Cause it's amazing how you forget how to have fun.
Right.
I mean, you really do. Yeah. You forget.
Yeah.
And, but what a win-win where you learn how to have fun again and then you're not spending all this money and time and energy and
God, the energy. Problems.
Yeah.
You didn't go to doctors, did you?
No.
You didn't do that whole
thing. No.
Every single day, you would go to a doctor's office who was known for writing prescriptions, and there'd be a group of people there. And then you'd see the same group of people in the pharmacy, or you'd see them at another doctor's office. It was all consuming.
Did you ever have situations where all of a sudden the doctor's office closed and you went to get it? And
I'm sure that happened. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that happened.
I always think about that. You know, when you see a show like Cops, where somebody gets their supply and then they get busted right away.
Yeah.
I think not only are they getting arrested, but the other part is they didn't even get to use it yet. And it's getting...
When we talk about when you do your news, and we talk about a ship being busted and millions of dollars, I always think, oh, these... I think of two things. Good, I'm glad they got these guys. And then I think, oh, those poor guys.
I mean, could you imagine? I mean... You have so many things that, from the using and all these possessions and everything, one of these big Sinaloa cartel leaders. And then all of a sudden, you're in a, what, 4x7 cell?
Yeah.
5x7 cell?
Yeah, it depends.
I mean, what a shock.
I mean, look, you're a fisherman, and you go down the Jersey Shore, and you fish like you did last week. You caught a giant shark, which is crazy in itself. But you couldn't have done that, enjoyed that with your son. You know, the beach back then was a different message, the beach back then, what it is now for you.
Yeah.
For all of us.
You know, and the other thing is, like, the bad things that can happen, the accidents, where your night out turns really bad, you know? These are all those things we play the tape out to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to the beach tomorrow, okay? I could never, when I got in recovery, I didn't want any, how can you do that? How can you?
It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a strange thing. I remember, finding a good meeting down the shore. And that was kind of a turning point for me to be like, okay, well, I can just go to this meeting because my brothers would all be drinking.
Yeah.
It's
an escape.
Escape, yeah.
Those meetings are escapes.
Absolutely.
You know, you say down the shore. That term, most places they say at the beach. In New Jersey, they say at the shore, down the shore.
You know, how we're in multiple states? People in the other states probably totally make fun of us, Gary. Well, I said water earlier, and Gary said water, or Brad said water.
What? No, Tyler said it.
The wimpy way, it's water. You know, and the beach, they're probably, or down the shore, they're probably like, what are they talking
well,
about?
Well, most states don't have ocean water.
Well, I'm glad that you use a southern accent sometimes, Gary, just to...
Well, if we're talking about...
You know...
I do that in restaurants too.
You do?
Yeah. Marjorie hates it.
I can imagine.
I want to assimilate myself into the culture, okay?
Yeah.
It's not a disrespect in any way. I want to be part of the group. What do you see there?
David Sarkin says, Mark, your Jersey accent is noticeable.
Yeah, there you go.
Great.
Yeah. Hey, Mike Burke, what's up, buddy? Your Jersey.
Yeah. I wonder too, like I do Zoom meetings where it's like you have the West Coast on there.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, when I'm talking, I'm like, I wonder if I sound very like North.
Well, I don't hear it, but.
Yeah.
And David's from around here, so I don't know.
And he hears it. He hears it somehow.
Yeah. And, yeah. So just to jump back to the last news article, in 2019, Chapo, who was the head of the cocaine cartel, he was found guilty of criminal charges related to his leadership of the Sinaloa cartel and was sentenced to life imprisonment and incarcerated in ADX. ADX Florence was a maximum prison in Colorado. Well, we got it from one of our viewers.
So he's alive.
He's alive. And our viewer is Brad Risch.
All right.
Thanks,
fact checker right there.
Thanks.
A little late.
Fact checker.
Yeah. Mike Burke just got on from Ocean City, New Jersey. Jersey is at the shore. Delaware is down the beach, and Maryland is down the ocean. See, our listeners and our viewers know. They are in the know, Mark.
I know. I want to remember this for the next time I'm in Maryland. To say down the ocean.
Next time in where?
Maryland. And Delaware down the beach.
It's Maryland.
I'm going to totally mix it up. I'm going to be in Delaware and say down the ocean.
Yeah, you are. Hey, great show. Thank you, everybody, always for the support and always giving us information that our listeners and viewers give us when we get jammed up. Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks for all the support that you give us each and every week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Stop. dust away.
Wall Street Journal needed expert views on crisis intervention and mental health. They called the consortium. When the United States Department of Health and Human Services needed to launch their national 988 hotline, they came to the consortium, and so can you. Here's consortium CEO John White Jr.
Mental wellness influences so many aspects of our lives. Long before the headlines, we were on the front lines. We've been pioneering the art of helping people feel better for more than 50 years. Our expertise is unsurpassed. Today, so many people are under a lot of pressure, telling themselves, I'm okay. Trauma is real. Our counselors can help you feel better now. And when you feel better, you achieve more. With our proven strategies and compassionate guidance, you and your gifts will shine. We've helped thousands of people, and we can help you feel better now. Give us a call. 215-596-8100.
That's right. Call the consortium. 215-596-8100. Listen to Bishop Mary. Call 215-596-8100.